Whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome here. Your response in the call to worship this morning, let us step forward together. Let us step forward together. That will be your response. The 1st of January is another day dawning. As we come together this month, the sun is rising as the sun always rises. The earth is moving in its rhythms. With or without our calendars, to name a certain day as the day of new beginning, separating the old from the new.
Let us step forward together.
So it is. Everything is the same, bound into its history as we ourselves are bound.
Let us step forward together.
Yet also we stand at a threshold, a new year, something truly new, still unformed, leaving a stunning power in our hands.
Let us step forward together.
What shall we do with this great gift of time, this year?
Let us step forward together.
And let us begin by remembering that whatever justice, whatever peace and wholeness might bloom in our world this year,
let us step forward together.
And we are the hearts and the minds, the hands and the feet, the embodiment of all the best visions of our people. The new year can be new ground for the seeds of our dreams.
Let us step forward together.
Let us take the step forward together onto new ground, planting our dreams well, faithfully, and in joy.
Let us step forward together.
Our first hymn is Wise Ones Seek Him, and I believe the tune will be familiar. Old King Wenceslas.
Through the heavens.
I'll share the invocation and all of you can join in when we share the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. We gather together to worship you, O God, the eternal spirit of the universe. In our great need for light, we look to you. The quick flight of our day impels us to look back with regret or ahead with misgiving. There are times like we have been experiencing recently when we are baffled by disorder, and times when we come to doubt life's value and meaning. Loving God, make your presence felt among us. Help us to find the courage in all of this fragility to affirm you, to be righteous when the shadows fall upon our homes. When our weakness and the storms of life hide you from our sight, teach us that you are near and help us to strive to live truer, gentler, nobler lives. Give us trust, give us peace, and give us light. We pray in the example of Jesus, who taught us how to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now our first scripture. Catherine?
Morning. This is from Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, and it's the proclamation of John the Baptist. This is John speaking. And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'"
Thank you, Catherine. As I mentioned earlier, we have some additional music this morning. And I thank Karen Anderson as well for sharing her beautiful music with us again, and for David Dowd for getting it up quickly for us to enjoy. Thanks.
Everyone. shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks at night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that hailed the Christ child's birth. A goat telling on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. A goat telling on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yes. Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent out salvation that blessed Christmas morn. All saints and all ye seekers gathering afar, sing out your alleluias, keep following that star. Last time. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yes, Jesus Christ is born.
Thanks, Karen.
Yes, thank you, Karen.
And also thank you to Rachel.
Yeah, thank you to Rachel, too. As before I begin the sermon, I did receive this message, and we can edit this out, I'm sure, but I did want to share it with the group. Linda Johnson, this is Linda, L-Y-N-D, Johnson. Her husband, Larry Johnson, passed away on December 31st, and there will not be a memorial service at this time due to COVID. But she did say, please remember her family in prayer, and that donations in his name may be made to the American Cancer Society. Epiphany. It took place on January 6th. So this is the season of Epiphany. And the second Sunday in January, it marks the baptism of Jesus in the church year. It is a day that correlates with the new year, in that both the beginning of our secular year and baptism both have to do with beginnings. The scripture readings provide two different approaches to the challenges and opportunities before us as we begin 2021. Catherine read the first scripture from Luke, focusing on various groups of people, the tax collectors, the soldiers, all the people. They were asking John the Baptist what they should do after they are baptized. And the answer that he gave them, it was very specific. If they had more clothing or food or money than necessary, they should give it away to fill human need to others who are needy. He challenged them to do everything in their power, therefore, to fill human need. And then John added, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with fire. That is the Epiphany message, the baptismal message, the New Year message, and for that matter, the entire gospel message. We are all called to be servants as we fill human need. So now the sermon scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It takes the message from John the Baptist to Jesus, from water to fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John in the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I made a comment to Catherine just a couple weeks ago regarding baptisms, weddings, funerals that I performed throughout the year 2020. No baptisms, no funerals, and one wedding, which took place in July in the Irish Hills in Brooklyn, Michigan, at a venue and in an area which at the time had not experienced overwhelming cases of COVID-19. Now at this wedding, people were engaged in chit-chat until the processional music, and suddenly everyone stopped talking. And well, people, they do not necessarily need instructions about how to behave at any of the weddings performed, or for that matter, at funerals or at baptisms. Whatever the conversations may be happening before the service, during the service of worship, when the sacred words are spoken, "Will you take in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, forsaking all others to love and to cherish as long as you shall live," there suddenly has a sense of sacredness. The experience is there. There's a hush in the air. Now in the baptism ceremony with a child, there may be laughter, expressions of joy, maybe the baby is acting up, things are happening there. But then everything gets quiet. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Same with funerals, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There's a sacredness in this. The words, it comes through. There's a way that God is fully present. There is a way that this sermon scripture, even though it is about Jesus and baptism, that it can remind us of our own baptisms. While we may be surprised that Jesus never baptized anyone and that he came to his cousin John to be baptized, the action, it fits the message. Why should Jesus not stand in line as an equal with others in need as the suffering servant? Why? Why not? And why should he not join in with others who need a second chance, who have wandered far from what they have been taught about doing the right thing, the good thing, beautiful thing, who have waded so deep into trouble and in relationships and who have messed up their lives out of ambition and greed and think they are going everywhere when they're actually going nowhere? The one who identifies with all the people, namely Jesus, must also be willing to share the experience equally and therefore go out into the water with them and be baptized by John. So Jesus presented himself for baptism at the age of 30. We can speculate that in Israel, anyone entering into public life did so at the age of 30. Maybe that's reason enough for his waiting so long to be baptized, maybe in the synagogue when he was 12, listening to the rabbi teach and read the scriptures. Did it come to him that he would be working there in his father's carpenter shop? Maybe he saw the injustice around him of empire, of the Romans, of inequality. It moved him with a great desire to serve the world with justice and compassion and kindness. Why wait until the age of 30? I can't answer this. Maybe you have an answer. We can talk about it during our fellowship time over Zoom. I've seen people go through unexpected changes in life. One man who had been self-centered and arrogant, putting profits over people, suddenly left the business world to serve as a missionary in Honduras. Another woman who had made a mess of her life going from relationship to relationship, job to job, from shelter to shelter, suddenly emerges and enters college, gets a degree and then graduate school, gets another degree, and she returns to her hometown to become a social worker. Why the transformation? It just happens. Friends and family, they scratch their heads. When Jesus presented himself for baptism, a voice from the heavens said, "This is my son." This comes from Psalm chapter 2. It was spoken on the occasion of the crowning of a king in Israel. And now here it's quoted at the baptism of Jesus. The last part of the quotation, "My son, my beloved, in whom my soul takes pleasure." That comes from Isaiah 42. It describes the suffering servant of God who gives his life for others. It means loving and going and doing and caring for other people. It means being kind and looking out for other people because other people are of God. It means embracing and healing and caring for brokenhearted people, hungry people, diseased people, alienated people, suffering people, poor people, and all people with physical and mental disabilities. The business presented to Jesus at his baptism was simply to serve other people and to fill human need. One of my favorite movies, it's a Western. It's a Western called Little Big Man. On New Year's Eve, Catherine and I saw this film and enjoyed it as much as we did back in the 1970s. It's about a 120-year-old man in a nursing home who reminisces to a reporter historian about his days growing up in the West, his relationship with General George Custer. He tells a reporter that he's a lone survivor of the Little Bighorn. What led to the Battle of the Little Bighorn and the massacre afterwards was Custer's arrogance. His ego is narcissistic, manipulative, and degrading treatment of not only his own company, but of course of the Native Americans. He had wanted to be president of the United States. He ended up as a casualty of the Little Bighorn. I mention this because it brought to mind a story told by one of my ministerial colleagues about his first church in a small town in the Southwest, in Oklahoma, near Wichita Creek. You see, there at Wichita Creek in the late 1800s, Black Kettle and most of the women and children of his tribe were massacred by General Custer's army. Today, that little community is named for this very general, Custer City. While there are only four churches in Custer City, the bars in town have better attendance, though once in a while the town bar will lose one of its members, hauled off by a family member. Anyway, the story is told about a guy named Frank, and he was always at the town bar. He worked hard on his farm 6 days, but while his wife and kids went to one of the churches on Sunday, he was out there drinking with his buddies at a place called the town bar. I think every town has a town bar. The minister of the local church tells about how he used to meet Frank on the street during the week, how they'd talk about things, and how once Frank took the offensive and said to him, "I work hard to take care of my family all through the week and I mind my own business. As far as I'm concerned, everything else, especially religion, it's nonsense." And the minister took it as a hint to leave him alone and not talk about church. So he honored Frank, kept religion out of it. But then one day Frank went to see the minister about being baptized. The minister said, "Frank, do you remember that little saying you used to give me about working hard, taking care of your family, minding your own business? Remember that?" Frank said, "Yep, I remember it." The minister then said, "What's changed? What's the difference?" Frank responded, "I don't know. Now, but now I do know. I didn't know then. what my business was, but now I know exactly what it is. So Frank was baptized in that little Custer City church because he had discovered what his new business was. It was to serve human need. While we may think that baptism has everything to do with self-glorification and salvation and being made into some purified Christian warrior, that's not the way I read it in either Matthew or Luke. Jesus never baptized anyone, nor did he talk about how baptism splashes God all over us and saves us from eternal damnation and guarantees us a seat in some sort of magic, perfect, cleansed, idyllic Shangri-La of a heavenly kingdom. Instead, Jesus went to his cousin to be baptized into a new business, that of being a servant to others, making gentle a bruised world, healing shattered hearts, and serving human need. And we are called in our baptisms to go and do likewise. Amen. Now let's sing another carol. I've called this carol Penny's favorite, but it's one of my favorites too. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this beautiful carol. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Let's sing together. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
Anyway.
No, thank you. And now as we begin the new year, as I've shared previously, I invite you to give generously to your favorite mission, whatever mission that may be. There are certainly so many needs out there, as you already know, the local needs, Salvation Army continues, the needs of the After 26 Cafe, the needs of Feeding America, as well as our own church. And you can send your gifts, mission and otherwise, to help our own church, First Congregational United Church of Christ of Cadillac, Michigan, P.O. Box 892, Cadillac 49601. Thank you for your generosity. Let's all sing the doxology together. Benediction I would like to share with you, which concludes how we began in the call to worship. The call to worship had, I'm not sure if you recognize the author, Kathleen McTigg. And in her call to worship, as we move forward together in the new year, I think it's appropriate as part of the benediction as well. So remember that we are the hearts and the minds, the hands and the feet, the embodiment of all the best visions of our people. The new year can be new ground for the seeds of our dreams. Let us take the step forward onto new ground, planting our dreams well, faithfully, and with joy. Amen. And now Margie's benediction. Amen.